Some grow nuts, some grow leaves. Either way you look at it, we're talking trees with John Eisenhower on Rosie on the House.
Joined with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, along with Sarah Maitland, the Director of Plant Health Care, and Jane in Phoenix on a magnolia tree, who's next on the line. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Good morning, guys. I was driving along, and I had seen a magnolia tree, and just was surprised to see it was available in Phoenix to grow. So then I was driving in North Scottsdale, and I saw another one. And I did John Eisenhower. I got out and went over and looked at it. I've heard your story, John, as you know.
Yeah.
And so then a gentleman was working in his yard, and he joined me, and he offered me some of the little roots that are growing up out of the base. And the reason for my call is, would I be successful to try to dig those up? A couple of them are really large. I was surprised. But I want to know exact time to do it and how to do it, because I like to propagate.
Well, that would be a bit of an experiment, because we don't know if the magnolia tree that you're getting those sprouts from was grafted onto a rootstock. You might not have the parent plant, that you might actually have a sprout that's from the rootstock, which may not have the same characteristics as the tree that you saw that made you want to pull your car over. So you might need to check with the nursery or find out the source of the tree and who planted it. If you can get back to the nursery.
John, it's very old. It's very large.
Yeah.
Both of the trees were very mature. I was shocked. Yeah.
There are some field-grown stock, but a lot of the containerized stock is a grafted rootstock, and they often the rootstock that sends up those sprouts often has different characteristics than the grafted stock. So you'd have to kind of do a little experimentation. It'd be fun to do it if you love to propagate. Put it in the ground and see what happens, and you might have a beautiful tree there.
Let us know how it goes, and we appreciate you calling in. Those are fun trees. Magnolia, and another one that is very hard to grow, but it does grow here, and I just love to have, because it reminds me of my grandparents. They had these jasmine vines on their back patio for years, and you know, I can't walk past and smell jasmine and not, you know, just
think of your
go back to Mama Cam Pop Rosie's backyard and all the gatherings and time we spent there. So good luck, Jan. The lines are absolutely loaded, but before we get to the next call, I know you guys want to talk about olive spraying.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have Sarah here, because she knows so much more about some of these applications that we have. A very amazing line of products have come available in the last numbers of years. They're called plant growth regulators, and with these products, we can control or suppress the development of fruit on a lot of our trees in the landscape. The most common is the olive trees, and we've talked about that in recent broadcasts. And I just want to bring Sarah in and ask a few questions. And this is our kind of prime time to be spraying olives. What is what's the best time to be applying the spray to reduce the fruit drop?
Well, John, it really depends on if you're going to spray now or spray later, but we do have products, and the most successful is the pre-bloom applications, and those would start maybe about January 15th.
So, and there's another product you can spray after they've bloomed?
Correct.
So,
correct.
Okay, and what's the how do they work?
Well, for the most part, we apply Maintain, and it's a product that actually increases the obsidic acid in the plant and causes it to drop its blossoms.
So it's kind of it tricks the tree hormonally and causes it to drop its fruit prematurely.
Correct.
Which is something it would do naturally anyway, but you're actually stimulating this hormonal response, so it'll just simply drop the fruit sooner.
It'll drop the blossom.
Drop
it will
the blossom.
Never develop.
So the fruit doesn't develop. And what's the... what if you forget and you wait a little bit too long and you see the trees in bloom? Then you go to another product that
correct.
There's
another product that we maintain. We apply pre-bloom all the way up to about a 5% bloom. And then there's another product, Olive Stop, that we can apply from 5% bloom up to a BB size olive.
And what kind of spray coverage can you expect to get?
Well, the trees that are really full, you really got to get in there. You got to get every single inch of them. So coverage is a really important part of spraying your tree.
You're spraying this, so you're saturating the entire canopy of the tree with the chemical getting into all those small little areas where the buds are developing.
Correct. We spray from all four sides. Then we spray up underneath the trees also.
Okay. And so is it necessary to prune the trees? I mean, would that help to prune them before they get sprayed?
It helps a lot. You'll get a lot better coverage if you don't have really big, full trees.
All right. And what about other trees, you know, that can be sprayed? Are there – I know that olives are we're busy right now with all of our olive spraying, but what about other trees that can be –
Well, if you apply some Floral, other products to some trees, you can prevent, you can suppress pods. We're real successful right now. I actually used my own tree as a guinea pig 2 years ago, a really large mesquite. I used to get 5 or 6 black garbage bags full of pods in my courtyard, and it was a nightmare. And we sprayed the Floral on it. You get a little bit of defoliation. You know, I had a little green carpet at first, but I got about an 80% reduction on pods. And
wow.
So I went from 5 garbage bags to like 3 little white ones.
Little white, you know? Garbage bags.
And so I said, this works. And wow. So we're able to suppress mesquite pods, not completely, but it's a substantial difference. The same with acorns.
So if you have live oak trees that are producing acorns, you can spray those. I know that these products that we're spraying, these are labeled products, right?
Correct.
And so
yes.
They have to be. What if you don't know? You have a tree that produces seed pods. Are they all going to be labeled for to be
no
be sprayed?
In fact, mesquite isn't on the label, but I did check with the Office of Pest Management at the time when we started doing it, and but there's oak, there's a lot of different things that are on the label, and we kind of experiment with them. The ones that we're sure we can do, that's what we're able to do.
But the products, yeah, we just need to check with the Office of Pest Management.
Correct.
To be sure that it's either allowed to be sprayed, because we don't want to go outside the regulations, outside the label. In fact, this is true of any kind of product we use, whether it's over-the-counter or one that you're using through a professional service, a licensed applicator. You want to be sure you're following the label instructions carefully. Olive Stop is an over-the-counter product, but just be sure you follow the label instructions and only apply it to trees for which it's labeled. Anything else on olive spraying? I mean, we're busy right now. So if people haven't waited too long at this point to get on the calendar?
No, absolutely not. We can get your tree sprayed.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure because I know our calendar is filling up, but we've got a people haven't waited too long at this point.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Good.
All right, well, we've got a handful of calls we're going to go through before we come back to the rest of our talking points. Let's see how we can help some of these Arizona homeowners with their tree questions. Next on the line, Bob and Chandler. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I got two questions about a mesquite tree. When is the best time to trim it? And then after trimming it, what's the best way to keep it from the sap dripping on the surfaces below?
Well, when you trim it, make sure you go all the way to the ground. That'll eliminate your sap.
Yeah, the sap dripping from pruning cuts is problematic with certain large mesquite trees, even the smaller ones. But the large ones, it becomes even problematic because the spread is so wide. We have a couple of our customers who have dripping from pruning cuts, you know, all over their pavers and their walls. And so we actually have to wrap some of those with a burlap wrap material just to kind of absorb some of that dripping. And it's a little time-consuming, but it's an effective treatment. Also, we have a product that we've been applying. Maybe Sarah can talk about it. But back to your question about the best time to prune mesquite trees, in order to control growth, probably the summer. And this is one of the only trees that we actually recommend a summer pruning on, because they're such rapidly growing trees. If we prune them early in the spring, they replace the foliage that's lost pretty rapidly. And by the middle of summer, when you need the tree to be light for the monsoon winds, the tree's already very heavy again. So we recommend a May, June kind of pruning cycle. If you're going to be doing an annual trimming, that's a great time just before the monsoon. That being said, that's when they're producing a lot of sap. So you might get a lot of sap dripping out of those pruning cuts. Regarding that sap, can you talk a little bit about shortstop?
Shortstop is a plant growth regulator that we use, and it really helps to control the growth of a tree. I used it on my mesquite, and it has been sitting there for about 6 months. It has not really moved at all. But it's really effective. It's picobutrazol is the active ingredient. And, you know, we have different trees have respond differently to it. But if you want to control growth, it's applied as a basal drench, and usually a residual for 2 to 3 years. And we've had really good success with it on many varieties of trees.
So it's controlling the size, but it's also, we found it's controlling the sap drop too. It helps
to... Well, it prevents elongation, so it really actually is transported and stays in the shoots of the tree. So after you prune, we apply after you prune, and it prevents the elongation. So it just kind of holds the tree generally.
So if you're trying to do some, containment and control of the size of some of your trees that are getting a little out of control, shortstop's a great treatment. Interestingly, it kind of redirects the growth to the root system.
Correct. If you have trees that are struggling, the shortstop will then send the energy back down to the root system, and you really get some good recovery on some trees that have been especially construction damage and, root problems.
These plant growth regulators have been used commonly in the line clearance industry for many decades now, and they're just finding their way into the commercial and residential markets for applications like this, because the line clearance companies didn't want to have to be trimming those
right.
trees off the power lines out in these remote areas in the country. So they would use these plant growth regulators, which is just simply sending a hormone to the tree, which tricks it into thinking rather than sending the energy to those shoot tips, it'll redirect it back to the roots. And
do they work on kids?
They could.
Let's jump up to.
But to address the sap flow, sometimes a tree, it weeps when it's in a stress situation, and so a lot of it is bacterial based. You find a bacterial infection in a tree causing that oozing. So in those cases, we can inject trees with an antibiotic. We can also apply a phosphorus-based type of a fungicide that will dry up some of the slime flux.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we've got Charlie and Prescott wants to talk about his aspen tree. Lee and Mason wants to talk about an ash tree. And Carolyn Oral Valley wants to talk about the tree barrier for the roots. We also have a couple more January talking points in our talking trees here at Rosie on the House.